This is Living the RV Dream, episode 37, for Friday, December 22nd, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to a brand new edition of Living the RV Dream podcast, the Free in My RV show, like I like to call it, since that is kind of like my motto. I am, by the way, your host, Robert Morales, if this is your first time here, and I'm not a full-timer yet. I'm a part-timer. I travel with my wife, towing a Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB, which is one of the first towables that Winnebago, it used to be like the smallest Winnebago made back in 2014. First of all, well, it is December 22nd. By the time you listen to this, this is the last show before Christmas. 2017 is nearly over. And first of all, I'd like to wish all of you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I believe Hanukkah was just ended a couple of days ago. So happy belated Hanukkah to all of you, if that's even a thing. Whatever you celebrate in whatever part of the world you are, be merry, be happy, be well, and good health to all of you. And next week, I'm actually probably going to do a year in review, because 2017 has been a very good year for me, actually, and full of changes, but I finally took that leap of faith in myself and decided to do what I love full-time. But we'll more about that next week. I want to talk to you guys about my Las Vegas trip. You know, sometimes we do this like every 4 or 5 years. And on a whim, you know, I was at the dinner table talking to my wife, and I said, how about if we go to Las Vegas? You know, I had already done some research, and I saw that the airfare was like very reasonable. It was just a little over $200 from Miami to Las Vegas. That's a 5-hour flight, so it sounded reasonable. I told her, hey, how about we go to Las Vegas? And within 10 minutes, I booked the airfare and I booked the hotel. And you know, this time I didn't stay on the Strip. We actually stayed at the Plaza in downtown. And if you are a geek like I am, and a Back to the Future geek like I am, you know, that was the Biff's pleasure paradise in Back to the Future Part 2. That Biff character that some say is kind of modeled after Donald Trump. You know, he's a tycoon, you know, a very rich person in that second part of Back to the Future. And that's the hotel that they use as Biff's pleasure paradise. And it is a very iconic hotel in downtown Las Vegas. It's at the end of Fremont Street. And as you know, Las Vegas has two main areas where you can go party. One of them is downtown, Fremont Street, that area where all the old casinos were. That's the original Las Vegas from... that it was founded in 1905, and that's where the first casino was, and actually even the first telephone, I think, was there. I was reading up on the history, because I'm gonna make a video. And then the other area is the Strip. That's where all the newer hotels are, and the Strips began, I believe, in the 1950s. You know, with the Sands and some of those hotels that are no longer there. And most of the hotels, actually, if not all of the hotels on the Strips, have been replaced by this new behemoth, you know, largest hotels, the Venetian, which was the largest hotel in the world, now is the second largest, only to be, you know, replaced in that list by another Venetian, which is the one in Macau. So that was a great trip, really. Las Vegas is one of those places that knows how to do entertainment well, you know, and it's one of those places where you feel like the freedom to be a little naughty, if you will. You know, actually, it was pretty cool, because this time we decided to take an Uber instead of a taxi, and the Uber took us through this back street. I believe it's called West Avenue or something like that. Don't quote me on that. And that street was all over the street were like strip joints, and you know, they legalized marijuana, so now they have all the marijuana dispensaries on that street too. So, you know, it's a different place. It's obviously not for everybody, but for us, it's like every 5 years or so, it's a fun vacation to have. And they do entertainment very well, you know, like I'm also a geek for audio, obviously, and there's no bad audio. All the bands, there's live music everywhere, and they all sound great, so that's good. Now they have this new thing I hadn't seen before. They're controlling the audio board with an iPad, so you see the sound guy just standing in front of the band with an iPad, and you know, controlling, you know, sliding up and down the digital faders, if you will. So we did that. We hung out one night at Fremont Street. You know, you walk up and down the street, and they have this canopy of LED lights, and every hour they have like a light show in this canopy on Fremont Street, which is pretty cool. And there's also all kinds of colorful characters on the street, you know, performers and girls with whips and musicians. And it's pretty cool. And I explore a different area, which is a little further east on Fremont Street, right after the canopy ends. This area was full of bars, restaurants, and nightclubs, not so many casinos. But it was like a very, very much a party scene. I hadn't seen that. And they have all the classic neon signs now on the street. You know, they salvaged a lot of these neon signs from old hotels that got demolished. By the way, well, this was our first night. We arrived like at 11 p.m. Vegas time. So we arrived, yeah, it was like during the course of 2 or 3 hours, we went to sleep like at 2 a.m. We did all this. And we even had dinner at 1 a.m. at a Mexican restaurant there. It's called El Buen Pastor. It's kind of Mexican fast food, but the tacos were really, really good. And the quesadilla. It feels like a hangover place more than anything else. But very good, very good. And very nice folks. And the next day, what we did, we went to the Strip, of course. And the Strip, you cannot see it in one day. You know, and the hotels are so large that they actually look closer than they are. But if you want to walk from the Venetian to the Paris, which are like almost next to each other, it's like a mile, or it feels like a mile at least. So we did that. We went into the Venetian, which is really cool. It's like they have like a loose, kind of loose reproduction of Venice and St. Mark's Square. We ate there. Very cool place just to walk around. I mean, it is a shopping mall. It's called the Grand Canal Shops, it's a cool place to visit, I guess, if you haven't done it before. And they have the gondola rides, which we almost did, but we changed our mind at the end. The other thing that we did in the Strip, and this is something new that, well, it's relatively new. The last time we were in Vegas, it was 2013, and they didn't have it yet. It's called the High Roller, and it is the largest Ferris wheel in the world. It even dwarfs the London Eye. So we did that, and it takes a half an hour to do one revolution on the Ferris wheel, and you only do one, and the views from the top are fantastic. And if you just want to do the regular Ferris wheel, it's $20, but if you pay $40, they have an open bar, you know, happy hour is what they call it. So that was pretty cool, because, you know, in half an hour you can have a one or two drinks, and that pretty much covers the $20. And it was good to see Las Vegas from that higher perspective. And I hadn't realized before, actually, I guess I did, but not so much, that Las Vegas is surrounded by mountains. And actually, one thing that I always do, well, not always, but the last two times that I've gone to Las Vegas, the last three times, is Las Vegas is the gateway to so many cool places in Nevada and Arizona and even probably California. But this time, we've gone to the Grand Canyon from Vegas. We've gone to Lake Mead. But this time we went to, what's it called? The Valley of Fire. And I'm going to tell you all about it in a little bit. But that was a great, destination going from Las Vegas. One thing I realized on this trip, though, I like RVing so much better than flying somewhere. First of all, in the RV, you can bring so much more stuff. You know, this time I only brought like my two main cameras. I usually bring a lot more gear to these things. And we travel extremely light. We traveled this with a backpack. But it's always nice to have your own bed and, you know, and some place to call home to go back to at night. Definitely. I really hope that someday soon I can RV in Las Vegas, because there's a couple of RV parks. And I do believe you can park your RV also, like, I don't know if overnight, but for the day at the parking lot for the Ferris wheel, for the high roller. But yeah, and even this time, the TSA going from Miami to Las Vegas wasn't as bad as usually is. I mean, you know, it's all theater, as we know, but some days they make you take off your shoes, some days they don't, some days they make you take out your laptop from the bag, some days they don't, and this time they didn't, at least on the way there. On the way back was different, but hey, anyways, we all love the TSA, right? Yeah. Oh yeah, next time, definitely, I want to do the RVing in Las Vegas. By the way, I finished my RV closet upgrade, or I, let's say, upgraded, improved my RV closet upgrade. As you know, my trailer is, I have a very small trailer, as some of you know, and it didn't have a closed closet to hang your clothes, you know, hanging closet. But it did have a TV that we never actually watched. Actually, I don't really watch TV anymore. 90% of my TV is YouTube, actually. And the news, I just, nowadays, I just read it. I mean, nowadays, the only reason you would need live TV is like for news or sports. Otherwise, you can watch it after the fact. And it's actually even better because you can skip the commercials. So as you probably know, I removed that TV and I removed the backboard that was behind the TV. And eventually what happened, it came out to be a larger area where I could turn it into a hanging closet. I called Winnebago, of course, and then they told me to call my dealer. And it's a whole rigmarole to order a part, but I ordered a closet door that would match the one on the bottom. And then I found this extension hanger at this place called Hardware Hut. I mean, there were some on Amazon and other places, but I did something that was under 12 inches, you know, under a foot. And I found one that was 11 and 13 16ths, and that was perfect. I'm going to post a picture of the upgrade. It came out great. So I finally finished my RV closet upgrade. That was very cool. Anyways, I think I am rambling too much, but more than 12 minutes into the show, now we have mail. This week we have mail, and I have a voicemail. Let's play that right now.
Well, hello there, Traveling Robert. I just wanted to call in, give you some feedback, especially for the new Live Free in My RV song. Man, I love it better than the original because you put your heart, you put your soul into it. And that's what I love about it. It just makes me excited to get in that RV and hit that road. Anyways, I got a question for you. I've been remodeling my 75 Midas Mini. I noticed you were talking about getting a new RV after Mini. Anyways, if you did a new RV, would you buy a new one, or like a few years older, or would you go for something like retro and remodel it? Let me know your opinion. We all want to know what will be the next motorhome for being free in your RV. This is Anthrit signing off.
Hey, Anthrit, thank you so much for that call. Actually, I'm so glad that you like that new version of Riding in My RV. My theme song, as all of you know, actually the one that plays at the beginning of the podcast is still the old one. I have to change that, but I have to make a short version of it again. And eventually I want to make a version with more lyrics, but yeah, this one, I really like the way it came out, and I'd be using it a lot more in my videos as well. And about your question about, an RV, well, ideally, if money was no object, I would like a brand new B or B plus. Or C minus, or you know what I mean. One of these newer streamlined. In reality, it is a Class C because it is built on a bare chassis, you know, and they make the wide body. Hopefully, something fiberglass. You know, I'm kind of thinking Winnebago Trend or leisure travel vans, Serenity or that kind of thing. I'm a little bit off the the Class B bandwagon. I think they are, for me, of course, we all have different styles. They're too small, just too claustrophobic inside. At least in a B plus, you can have two separate areas where you can stay. You know, it's a little more comfortable. I have romanticized, this romantic idea of getting something vintage and remodeling it. But I'm not really all that mechanically inclined or all that handy, although I have gotten better over the years. As you know, I've learned a lot by using my travel trailer as a blank slate, if you will, to play around with different projects. But no, I think the best for me at the moment would be a slightly used B+, and let me tell you, they are not depreciating as much. These Class Bs or B+s, if they were 150 brand new, they're still in the over 100,000 a couple of years later. But maybe something slightly used that the original owner has worked out all the kinks and replaced all the parts that they didn't put in correctly in the factory. And that might be it. Although I do want to take advantage of the newer technologies like the Truma heating systems and all that newer technologies. You know what I'm not into? Those flat screen panels that they have in all the high-end RVs now. That, you know, you from there you control all the lights and the heater and you can even turn on your generator, you know, everything. And what happens when Android crashes? You know, you cannot use your RV. Call me old-fashioned, and this is probably something new for me. Like, as I get older, I appreciate regular light switches a lot more. But it seems to be the rage nowadays. All the new RVs have these control panels, and they have one in the front and one in the rear, so you can control everything. And it's really cool, but I'm really not into it. So I don't know why I'm rambling so much today, guys, but short answer, probably a slightly used Class C, and probably under 25 feet if I can. So because I don't want to tow anything behind me. That's what I'm thinking today. I might change my mind in 1, 2, or 5 years, and I might end up with a 45 footer. But at this point in my life, I want something that I don't want to have to tow anything behind me. It is one of the things, besides dumping the black water tank, it is one of those things that I don't really like about RV life. By the way, thank you very much for that voicemail, Antrit. And I'll actually put a link to Antrit. Has a very nice YouTube channel as well, so I'm going to put a link to that. I've got an email from Chris. A comment on my website, actually. Hello, Robert. Hope you're enjoying the holiday season. My girlfriend and I enjoy listening to your podcasts and have recently watched a couple of your videos. I've noticed that you mentioned an interesting Class B possibly in your future. After watching your Georgia trip, I saw how frustrated it seemed trying to back in your trailer into that tight spot. I was wondering if you ever considered a truck camper. You get a little bit more room in a truck camper than a Class B. A full-size bed, real mattress, bigger bathroom, more walking room. We love ours. And it's easy to get almost anywhere and can even park in a normal-size parking spots for the most part. Cost-wise, I figure it can be about the same, just like anything else. You get what you pay for, of course. Curious what your thoughts are on truck campers. Take care. Well, beside aesthetics, which I think... I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody. I think truck campers look ugly. But besides that, yes, they are very convenient. And of course, the Class C, if you go to the museum, where is it? In Elkhart, Indiana, the RV Hall of Fame, you see the progression. And the Class C was the natural progression of the truck camper. They decided, why not integrate the whole rear camper into the chassis and make it more efficient? But yeah, truck campers are very convenient, and that might be a possibility in the future. You know, I might eat my words and eventually buy a truck camper, especially because you can have a 4x4 vehicle under it, and then you can go virtually anywhere, and that's very, very tempting for me. But we'll see. I do think truck campers are a possibility. If I can get over the way they look from the outside. Robert. Okay, this is Robert from, doesn't say from where. Robert, my wife and I repeatedly watch your videos on YouTube, and not only is your film quality the best, your narration and your travel is informative and mixed with your humor. Please keep on coming. We're going on our first RV show in Atlanta in January. With that, Christine and I wish you and your family a happy holiday. Well, thank you so much, Robert. And yeah, I've heard that Atlanta RV show is pretty good. So I hope you find something that you like. And once you go to your first RV show, it's kind of addicting. So by the way, if you're gonna go to an RV show, John Huggins has an excellent book. It's a small book, you know, it's more like a pamphlet. It's only $1 on the Kindle store on Amazon. It's called How to Survive an RV Show and Make It a Great Experience, and it is the must read book before you go to an RV show, because he gives you all the tips that you need to take advantage of the show and not be overwhelmed. It's very easy to get overwhelmed at an RV show. So check it out, How to Survive an RV Show and Make It a Great Experience on Kindle. Dave Anton writes, thank you, Robert. I just purchased the CD. If you ever come up to Canada, West Alberta, let me know. I live in Calgary, and I'll give you some tips on great places to visit and camp around Banff, Lake Louise, Waterton, Drumheller, etc. There's a lot to see up here, and your dollar goes a long way these days. Everything is relatively close together. I heard you mention that you would consider it on the way to Alaska, but you could enter Alberta from Montana and work your way west into Vancouver Island and then back through Washington, Oregon instead. Just a thought. In Calgary. Yes, the Canada, Western Canada, the Canadian Rockies, and of course, British Columbia. It's in the bucket list, but of course, it's what happens with anything for me west of the Mississippi. As long as I have a roots here in South Florida, everything is so far away that it would take months to make a trip like that. But yeah, definitely my way up to Alaska, whenever that happens next year, the year after, or the one after that, I will definitely try to spend as much time in that area as possible, because I've seen pictures and yeah, they look great. Okay, Ann Turner commented on my website, Robert, my friend, and I enjoy your videos. I heard you sing yesterday. What a great voice you have. We are curious if you have a musical career in your background. Thanks for sharing your RV knowledge with us. Enjoy so much, Anne. And yeah, I'm glad to share my RV knowledge, although I do not claim to be an expert at almost anything RV related. I mean, I've been doing it for a while and you learn. And I've learned a lot from people like John Huggins and Mark Polk, the RV 101 and all that. But one thing that I consider myself an expert at is at editing video, creating video content, and music. I've been doing music. Well, I started learning piano when I was 7 years old. And then I took up the guitar probably when I was 11 or 12. I'm not really good at either, like to play live at a concert. I am no Liberace, if you know what I mean. But I can put together a song here in the studio and do the arrangement and all that. I actually started playing here when I moved to the United States in the late 80s. And by the early 90s, I was in my early 20s, and I started playing in some salsa bands here in Miami. And that's where I got, my background, where I pay my dues. And I was doing that. I still do parties from time to time. I don't do nightclubs as much anymore, or restaurants for that matter, but I do private parties. But yeah, during the 90s, we did a lot of late nights at the Miami nightclubs, when the Miami nightclubs still had like big bands. I mean, some of them do still, but everybody tries to cut corners and have the least amount of musicians as possible. But I have a musical background. And I have an email from Barbara from Berlin, Germany. And the CD has arrived today. Very nice songs. Thank you very much for your effort. I wish you and your family a wonderful Christmas time. And greetings from Berlin. And yeah, I'm shipping my CD even internationally now. So if I have a few left, I have like maybe 20 left, not even 20. I've sold a bunch, and I want to take a few to Tampa, just in case somebody in Tampa wants to get one from me or anywhere else during my late winter trip. So thank you all so much for those emails. That feedback is always welcome, always great to hear from you guys and what's going on. And keep them coming. Keep them coming because I love hearing from you guys. The destination of the week, of course, it's going to be this week, the Valley of Fire. And what a hidden gem, at least for me. I didn't know anything about it. You know, when you go to a place like Las Vegas, you do your research and some things come up. You know, they have the tours to the Grand Canyon, of course. So, of course, you know that if you really want to drive to the south rim of the Grand Canyon, it's like a 4 or 5 hour drive. It's not a trivial thing. So this place where we traveled this time is called the Valley of Fire. Is about an hour away going east. And I want to thank Paul and Lorena of the Motorhome Experiment YouTube channel because he was the one who recommended this place. He said, if you're going to visit one place of Las Vegas, that's it. And what a great place. It's one of these places that you go in, you know, it's a state park. And it looks like you're in Mars, really. It's out of this world beautiful. And they have a main road east-west that you drive through the park. You can enter, you enter through the west gate, let's say, and then you can exit through the east gate. And then right in the middle, there's a north-south road, and that's like the most beautiful area. You should, right there is the visitors center. The north-south road is called Mouse's Tank Road, and I recommend if you do one trail, there's this place called the Fire Wave, and it is a trail. It's a little on the rough side, if you will. I mean, it's less than a mile, but when you go up and down and in the sand, and there's this really fine sand. I can't imagine what that place looks like when it rains. It's probably super muddy, but luckily it never rains or hardly ever rains around there. But take that, the Fire Wave Trail. Beautiful, beautiful. If you are in decent shape, you should take it. And the wave is this rock formations. It looks like a zebra, you know. It has stripes of, you know, different shades of brown and light brown, I guess, or almost white. Very beautiful hike overall. We didn't see any wildlife, but I'm sure there are some desert critters around there. The other hike we wanted to do is a rock formation called Elephant Rock, but you know what happens in the winter in this area? It's nighttime at 4:30 p.m. So that's when the sun sets. So the day we ran out of time during the day. We didn't account for that, but then we returned to Las Vegas through the scenic route, and it takes about an hour and a half. But it's State Route 167. And the beautiful, beautiful sights is the North Shore Road, and you can see Lake Mead from time to time from that road and the mountains. It's a beautiful drive, and I fully recommend going to the Valley of Fire. Beautiful place. It's a must-do day trip from Las Vegas if you are there. I mean, there are many places where you can go, but this one, definitely. Definitely worth seeing. Now let's do a little bit of news, and something that affected me actually was what I'm going to call the Patreon debacle. As you probably know, this Patreon is one of these methods by which you can support creators, be it video creators, writers, musicians, you name it. And the way it works, you know, you give them a monthly donation, let's call it that, and depending on the level of donation that you donate, the amount of money, you get benefits back from the creator. And what happened that Patreon started charging the patrons, as they are called, percentage, you know, of the sale. So if you say you donated $20, they would charge you $1.50 transaction fee and then a percentage also. So you ended up paying, let's say, for the sake of the example, $23. And a lot of people didn't like that. I mean, Patreon already takes money from the creator. There's a percentage, you know, they have to make money. It's a business. But when they started taking money from the patrons, a lot of people stopped supporting, creators. And I was affected, of course, like everybody else. But Patreon did some really quick backpedaling a couple of days later. And they sent apologies, very apologetic email. Sorry, we goofed. We never meant to do that. So I bet they lost a lot of people. If I personally lost about 20% of my patronage. So a lot of them came back, by the way, after Patreon backpedaled, if you will. So, that was a bit of news here in mid-December. I also want to tell you about all the RV shows coming up. As you know, January is usually the beginning of RV shows season, I think. And we have a bunch of RV shows. January 4th through the 6th, we have the Colorado RV Show and Travel Show at the Colorado Convention Center in Denver. Then the January 5th through the 7th, there's a bunch of RV shows. Of course, there's the Atlanta RV Show at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. There's the Knoxville RV Show in Sevierville, Tennessee. Then there's the South Carolina RV and Camping Show, which is at the TD Convention Center in Greenville, South Carolina. Then there's the Wisconsin RV Show, which takes place in the Wisconsin Center District in Milwaukee. And then from January 6th to the 14th, we have the Pittsburgh RV Show, which takes place at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So if you live in one of these places, there's no excuse not to go to this one of these RV shows if you're interested in finding out what's happening. Of course, in late January, I am going to be at the Tampa RV Super Show. Have we settled that claim if the Tampa is the largest RV show, or is the Hershey, Pennsylvania the largest RV show? I would like to know, but I like to call it the largest RV show, and it's the one in Florida, so it's the one close to me. Anyways, and continuing, this podcast episode is going to be long, isn't it? We have a tip of the week. And, I regularly read Mark Polk's website, and I subscribe to his videos. His YouTube channel is RV Education 101, and he recently made a video about keeping mice out of your RV during storage. And of course, the main thing, of course, is sealing any holes or gaps, with silicone or foam. You know, make sure you don't see any daylight from the inside. And that's one of the things that he recommends. Also, remove any food and clean the RV well, because all these critters, they get attracted by probably the smells of any crumbs you leave on the floor, any residue. So it's good to do that. Also, park it on a solid surface, not on the ground or on the grass. Park it on concrete or pavement. That's also a good way to avoid getting critters. And if it is a motorized, start the engine periodically, because that scares away critters that they find a residence in your engine compartment. And the next one is, use regular mouse traps or mothballs, stuff that repels. Is that a word? Repels? Like a repellent? Makes the critters go away, basically. And I guess that would work for mice, but also any other kind of critters. And of course, if you want to know anything else, more tips and tricks, things to do in your RV to make your RV lifestyle better, Mark Polk's website is very good. And also, of course, John Huggins, livingthervdream.com, for anything you need to know about the RV lifestyle. That's the website. And if you are a prospective RVer, the book So You Want to Be an RVer, or So You Want to Be a Full-Time RVer, is a great book. That's one of the books that got me started in all this. So I recommend that you go to Amazon or wherever you buy books and search for John Huggins, So You Want to Be an RVer. Great book. And he has a bunch of other books too, of course. Now for my news segment called Nomad News. And this segment is really more for comic relief than anything else. But as I told you earlier, a lot of my TV watching these days is YouTube. And I follow a bunch of people on YouTube that have RV channels, of course, of all kinds. Some of them are in 45-foot diesel pushers. Some of them are living very frugally in vans, in a van by the river, like the song says. And some of them, you know, all kinds of lifestyles, all kinds of people, and I find some of them very entertaining, and I'm sure some of you follow some of these people. So, talking about Nomad News, Ben and Rebecca, his and hers vlog, are touring Central California in a brand new road trek. Yeah, they got a loaner. I don't know how they got it, but good for them. Enjoy. Steve and Teresa, the more we explore, keep pushing east through Missouri, Tennessee. He actually got to change the wheels and tires on their new Airstream, well, new to them Airstream, and he got some larger aluminum rims and car tires, and we'll see how that works out for them. Then through West Virginia, which is a beautiful state, but they make you pay property taxes on your vehicles. What's up with that? Anyways, and needless to say, they rode their mountain bikes every chance they got. Janet, 2012 SKP, is touring museums in Idaho. Mark and Trish of Keep Your Day Dream are eating their way through Santa Fe. Actually, I got some pointers because I might be going to Santa Fe pretty soon. Our friend Eric Jacobs, Nomadic Fanatic, met some viewers in Tyler, Texas, something he doesn't do very often, and it looks like he's finally fixing his broken tooth. I guess he changed his mind about algodones, Mexico, and he's gonna do it in Texas. Geezer at the Wheel reached 2,000 subs. Congratulations, buddy. And David Butt of Our Sidar Bubble live streamed their whole drive from Texas to Arizona. That was like 20 hours. Enthralling video, but hey, they reached 10,000 subs, so congratulations to you too. Our friends, the Russos, we had them on the podcast last week, the week before, are spending some quality time in an RV resort in Arizona, kind of, you know, the ones that look like retirement communities, and we have a lot of those here in Florida where snowbirds from the north come to enjoy our mild or sometimes non-existent winters. Usually very, very nice folks, the snowbirds. By the way, Caroline of Caroline RV Life is rocking a new-to-her 24-foot Winnebago Class C. And Louis and Lydia, Rolling Earthship and Simply RVing, are finally back together in Florida. They make such a cute couple. And last but not least, I was featured in Random Beats RV Series Drive, powered by you, and reached 35,000 subscribers. So congrats to me too, and thank you all who watch my videos on YouTube. This is, of course, just a few of the YouTube channels I follow, and I'll put links in the show notes to all of them. And that's all I've got for you today. As always, thank you so much for listening. As I mentioned earlier, I have a few CDs. So if you want to purchase the CD with the music that I use in my YouTube videos and sometimes here in the podcast, the Universal Resource Locator, also known as web address, is freeinmyrv.com. And if that doesn't work, you can go to travelingrobert.com and click where it says merchandise. And I also have t-shirts and stickers. And I'm going to be adding more stuff to that too. Of course, if you enjoy the podcast, it would be awesome if you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And that way, more people will be able to find the podcast, and we'll get a larger audience, and everything will be great. Of course, if you'd like to support the work that I do, patreon.com/travelingrobert is the address. If you want to do a one-time donation, that is paypal.me/roadnomad. And that's all I'm going to plug today. Thank you so much for listening. I was going to say watching. Oh, brother, I'm a little off today. I'm sorry about that. Thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Talk to you next week.